Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 24. Today is Wednesday, November 10th, 2010, and I am sitting in my living room. My son, Will, is in the other room doing his homework, and I told him, the reason you hear Mommy talking to herself is because she's doing her podcast. I actually don't say Mommy to Will. He's 8. He's well past Mommy, which I think is probably always the case with the second child, you know, because the older child gets to Mom, and then the younger child starts calling you Mom. And it's sad, but true. That's how it goes. So today we are just going to talk about all kinds of interesting things, or at least one interesting thing, maybe half an interesting thing. I don't know what we're going to do today, but first let me tell you, I love hearing from you. I love your comments and emails. You can get in touch with me by leaving a comment over at the Off-Kilter Quilt blog. That is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. So come do that, and otherwise you can email me at fdowell, that's F as in Francis, Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at mindspring.com, or come over to the Off-Kilter Quilts subgroup at the Quilt Cast Supergroup on Big Tent. We continue to get a steady stream of people signing up, which is great because that's a great way to create community among quilters. You know, last week I posted a question about bees versus guilt and have gotten a lot of interesting comments. Be sure to go over and read them. And one of the interesting comments that just came in, Sarah from Stash Resolution talked about online bees. And of course, Noni jumped in and said, let's do one. So maybe we will. That's a really interesting idea. Let me tell you where I am. I'm going to start with that and then do the usual thanks for comments and highlight some comments that I got. I got a lot of good advice this week that I want to share with you. And then finish up maybe with a little knitting talk. I don't have a lot of knitting talk. I'm just knitting. There's not a lot of drama. I'm just doing, stockinette stitch for miles and miles. But I'll bring it up later. So I just have to tell you, I am done with my stippling. I am not done with the quilt. I still have some work to do with that. But I finally finished the stippling. And can I tell you, I am really, really pleased. I love how it looks. And I feel very proud that the quilt is not distorted. I think that between my excellent basting job and by stitching the ditch, doing stitch in the ditch on each block, to secure the quilt really paid off. I keep meaning to mention this. When I went up to the mountains, that's when I went up to the mountains. Oh gosh, it's been 4 or 5 years ago. Sometime in mid-October is when I went up to spend a week up in Boone doing school visits. I was very careful to pack all my quilting stuff so I could set up my quilt studio in my hotel room. The one thing I forgot to pack was safety pins for basting. I had everything else. I was so thorough and organized, you would have been amazed, but I forgot safety pins. And, you know, if you have to forget something, safety pins is a thing to forget. If you have to buy safety pins, though, try not to do it at the dollar store because that's what I ended up doing. And those are some really sorry safety pins. By the way, my dog is sitting next to me, and he's such this vicious cockapoo, just heard some rustling in the other room, and he growled. That's because he's half asleep. He's 2, and he acts like an old man dog. He's a good boy. Anyway, if you hear any growling, don't be scared. It's just Travis. So, yeah, they were just kind of blunt. They were just blunt safety pins. And yesterday, so I finished with the stippling, and I'm on work at the borders. I'll tell you what I'm doing with those in just a second. But I was taking off some safety pins from the border, and I realized that when I took off all the safety pins as I was doing the stippling, I just mixed them back in with my regular supply of good safety pins. So now I'm going to spend the next who knows how many months or years getting the Dollar General safety pins out of my regular supply and doing what with them, I don't know, making a pretty chain to put around the Christmas tree. But I don't think they did any damage to the fabric, but that was just tough. It was tough to get them poked through. But you know, when you are up in the middle of nowhere, you take what you can get, and I did. So anyway, I finished with the stippling, and you know, it was funny. I think I mentioned this in my quilt diaries last week, that I had one, oh, Travis, a truck just drove by, a truck full of gun-toting mobster types coming to attack our house. Travis, it's a truck, babe. Let it go. Okay, I thought I was pausing that. Maybe I'll edit it out, or maybe I'll leave it just for, you know, a sense of scene and what have you. Yeah. Anyway, where was I? So, finished the stippling. Very pleased. Oh, but I had one block when I first started out where I was just like speed demon stippler, and it just was out of control, and the stitches were too close. It made me think about, you know, you read like about in novels or whatever that are set in the, say, the 18th or 19th century, and these women seamstresses who have such pride in their tiny stitches. I was a very proud woman as I spent 2 hours getting those stitches out. They were tiny because, you know, of course, there's no stitch width when you're free motioning. And so there were some that were just, I can't even tell you, barely, you know, barely just a millionth of a millimeter apart. And so it did. It took over 2 hours to finally get all those stitches out. It was, I was about to say it was horrible, but it wasn't. I don't know actually why doing stuff like that is satisfying. Obviously, if it were Christmas Eve and I were giving this quilt to somebody the next day, it would have been horrible. But this was just like, you know, I'm just chilling. I'm just zen with the quilt, and man, I'm just busting up these stitches and pulling out threads and getting little pieces of pink thread all over my house and my dog. And, you know, but it was okay. It actually was not unenjoyable to do that, but I would have rather not done it. So I got that done and went back and stippled correctly with, you know, uninsane size stitches, and then I was done, and it looks really good. And I decided with the border, so there's, you know, a very narrow border that I just left. It's just not quilted or anything. And then there's a wider border that is at this stage is probably about 3 inches wide, and I was trying to figure out what to do with that. And I thought about doing just sort of wavy lines, so on the top and bottom border, wavy horizontal lines, and the left and right border do wavy vertical lines, you know, maybe a half inch, just something, just not really stippling, just very relaxed kind of lines. I thought that might look nice, but then something came to me. What I would really like to do is like little flowers, not little flowers, actually big flowers. Because, you know, when I doodle, and I do, if I'm ever in a meeting, all I do is doodle, and people are always looking, what are you doodling? And I'm like, nothing. But I doodle a lot of flowers, and just daisies, you know, that you can do without ever lifting up your pen, and you just go round and round and round. I thought, well, you know, I know how to do that. I do that all the time. And I think that would actually, given how floral this quilt is, it would actually be very cool to have daisies, just the flower, just the, I don't know, what do you, the petals and the stamen? Is that what's in the middle, or the piston, or the what? The little round daisy dot? That's all I'm going to do. And I'm doing it. You know, the way that these things always work is you kind of get better as you go along. And now I've kind of gotten it really down to, I'm really liking, I've got these really fat, kind of chubby daisies. And they're about, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 inches in diameter, you know, with the from petal end to petal end. I'll take pictures when I finish. And I like them. You're not, you'll see the picture and you're not going to say, boy, you ought to do a book. I mean, they're beginners daisying. They're not beautiful fleur de lis kind of, is that how you say that? That just came out of my mouth. I don't even know if it's a real word. But you know, just not, you see these amazing quilting that people do. It's not, but it's cute. It goes with the quilt. It's my idea. I think it looks cute. So I'm really pleased. And it's possible I'll finish them up tonight. I think I may go back to some earlier daisies and pluck them and re-sew them, re-quilt them. Because now I'm just in the Daisy groove, and so I think I could do the early ones better. But I don't know, maybe I won't, because I don't want to get all anal retentive about it either. So I'm very close, though, and my plan is tomorrow I'm busy, but I'm hoping on Friday I'll get over to Thimble Pleasures and find the binding fabric and be done by this weekend. I will be so excited. First, I'm excited because I'm so pleased with this. And, you know, it feels like a personal victory in a way, just because the quilt came out better than I had even originally intended it. Now, it's taken months longer to finish it than I thought it would. Thought it would, but I like it. I'm so happy with the quilting. I'm so happy that it didn't get all distorted and wonky. And now it's possible when I put on the binding and then look at the whole thing, I'll see that it did get distorted. But right now it's not looking really distorted at all. So I'm just happy. I'm happy with how it looks. I'm happy with the stippling. I got a comment from Noni saying that she does her stippling, say that like her lines are about an inch apart. I will say that by the end of the project, I was doing my lines much more widely. Like there's probably about 3/4 of an inch between the lines. At the beginning, it was much closer to, I don't know, you know, 1/2 inch or less. And Noni commented she thought that, you know, quilts that were so tightly stippled had a real sort of board-like look, B-O-A-R-D, which I totally get. I know what she means. And at the same time, I really love the texture that's created by that close stippling. But, you know, I think Noni also said when she was doing just a crib quilt, she tended to have, I think she said, 1,000 yards of thread. I mean, that's the thing that I really didn't know, that stippling takes so much thread. So that's a reason to be a little less tight with one stippling, I think. Anyway, I do hope that next week I will have pictures of the quilt posted and we can all do a big victory dance around our computers because we'll be so happy. I will. And you know what? It also, I'm sitting here now in my cornmeal yellow living room and it actually looks very nice in here. So as we know, this is my winter reading quilt. So I'm going to be happy to do a little reading or knitting underneath my new quilt. I can't remember if I mentioned this, but I'll mention this again. My great idea, you know, since we have painted these walls, I can't bring myself to put my design wall, i.e. big piece of flannel, back up. But then I thought, you know, we have not painted my bedroom yet, our bedroom. And I don't think that's going to happen until the spring. It's certainly not going to happen before New Year's. And so I thought, you know what I ought to do right now? Besides put a design wall on my Christmas wish list, although now I have several things already, including a bread maker and a pasta attachment for my KitchenAid. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit a design wall on there as well, but I thought, you know, as long as that room is not painted, as long as our bedroom's not painted, why not put the flannel up there and I can start getting my blocks back out for Simply Amy, Simply Frances, and get going, because that is what I'm doing next. I'm not making any presents for Christmas. I kind of had thought maybe I'd make my mother-in-law a quilt, and I think I'm going to push that off to her birthday, which is April. You know, it might happen, but I just don't think it will, and I don't want to go crazy. I have a goal this year that I actually want to get my Christmas shopping done very early in the season. In fact, we're going to my mom and dad's for Thanksgiving, so I want to take their presents and my brother and his family's presents when we go there, so I will have that out of the way. And that doesn't sound like a very holiday spirit. I'll get that big bad job out of the way. No, you know, but then also do the kids shopping and whatever I can get done. Really, you know, I'd love to have it done before Advent starts, because I would love to have a spiritual experience at Christmas for once in my life. Every year I'm thinking this will be the year where I'll feel all holy about Christmas, and then it doesn't happen. So that's my goal, to get that done and to work on Simply Amy, Simply Frances, to have the design wall up in our bedroom so I can be putting up squares, putting up the blocks, and then working out the design. And I'm excited to get back to that. It's going to be a very different type of project than this project that I've been working on. You know, constructing the blocks for Simply Amy, Simply Frances is very different than just doing a patchwork. So it's going to be fun to do something different for a little while and hopefully to have a bedspread that will inspire us then to actually paint the bedroom and then hopefully gut the bathroom and put a whole new thing and whole new bathroom in. That's not going to happen. But I'm hoping we have a tiny bathroom. We have tiny bathrooms in this house because the house was built in 1965 before the advent of huge bathrooms. And for the most part, I don't mind, except our bathroom is also, it's not just tiny, but it's appointed in the most awful, ugly way. So if I could just get in a few, like a nice mirror and a nice sink, even that would make me very happy. And I think finishing Simply Amy, Simply Frances is what's going to do it. That's what's going to get the ball rolling, my friends. We'll see. Anyway, so I'm excited. I'm excited to get back to that. And what's funny is I was excited to get back to that a little while back, and I got out all the strips that I already cut out and ironed them, and now they're going to have to all be ironed again. But I'm psyched that I will have a design wall to work with once I finish the blocks. So that's next on the docket after I finish up this little patchwork deal, which I think is going to happen this weekend. Okay, now I would like to thank everyone who left comments this past week. Thanks to Tammy and Pam, Noni, Dorothy, and Diane. A lot of folks had stuff to say about quilting bees versus quilting guilds over on Off Kilter Quilt subforum of the Quiltcast supergroup on Big Tent. It's an interesting discussion. I've been learning a lot. And what's funny is I realized that my guild has a bee. I think it has more than one bee. I've forgotten all about that. And then somebody wrote that their guild had bees. So, you know, groups that met at other times from the guild to get together and socialize. And I'm pretty sure that the modern guild does as well. So we'll see. I'm going to go over to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting this Sunday, I think, if I can get away. The man and Will are going to Cub Scouts, and Jack is probably going to youth group. So I think it's going to be a good time for me to pop over to Thimble Pleasures and see what the vibe is like at the Modern Quilt Guild. By the way, if you go to Big Tent, to the Quiltcasters super group, I think in the general forum, Noni posted several weeks ago a question about traditional quilting versus modern quilting, and that's been an interesting discussion as well. Noni also posted some amazing pictures on her blog of machine quilting she has seen at some recent shows, and I'll post the address on my Podbean blog so you can check it out. It's very interesting. Now, one thing I don't know, and maybe Noni can fill me in, when one says machine quilting, does that refer specifically to home machine quilting, by which I mean your sewing machine that sits on the table that you sew at, as opposed to long arm quilting? I was wondering, one, looking at the pictures on Nani's blog, some of this quilting is amazing, and I know that you can do quilting on a regular machine that's really beautiful. And you can also do daisies, and those are very nice. No, but you know, in that book I have, The Heirloom Machine Quilting by Harriet Hargrove, I mean, it's amazing what people do on just regular old sewing machines. But I'll tell you, looking at those pictures on Noni's blog, I really wonder, it's like, did someone really just do this in her on her dining room table? Because it's incredible stuff. So check those pictures out. I got some really good advice from comments and emails. Let me tell you, first of all, Pam, who is, as we know, the hostess of Hip to Be a Square, commented that when she free motion quilts, it makes the lint build up badly in her machine. So don't forget, when you change your bobbin, clean the lint out of the bobbin case when you're free motion quilting. And that was great advice, because you know what? It's amazing how much lint builds up. And I hadn't really been paying that closely of attention until I got Pam's comment, and I thought, you know, that's a really good idea. So I have been cleaning the lint out of the bobbin case, so thank you, Pam. I hope you guys are listening to Pam. If you're not, go check her out. It's a very fun podcast, and she's on her fourth or fifth episode, so she seems to be a regular weekly kind of gal, and I like that, and I bet you do too. Noni wanted to know if I was doing a practice bat just prior to doing my quilt. And Noni, yes, I am. I think that's a great idea. I found doing the free motion quilting that every time I changed the bobbin, when I started the new bobbin, I started on a quilt sandwich first because it just, it was frustrating. First of all, oftentimes for whatever reasons, when I started, it would be funky. And so, of course, that's frustrating when you are working on your fabulous quilt and you have to tear out seams. And this way, you kind of get the funkiness taken care of before you put the needle to the fabric of your fabulous quilt. I found that just really, I think, in the long run, saved a lot of time. And, you know, usually it's just a little tiny thing that's wrong, you know, when you start sewing with a new bobbin, and it's easy enough to adjust. So I think that's a great, great idea. She also, I thought this was interesting, so when she free motion quilts a crib size quilt, she uses about 1,000 yards of thread. And she always has 2,000 yards plus available for larger quilts. And, you know, that has been my big shock. My two big shocks about free motion quilting is it turns out it's not really hard, at least to stipple. I know to do the fancy stuff is hard, but stippling turns out to be pretty easy, and also it uses up a lot of thread. Dorothy recommends gardening gloves for quilting gloves. She says you can get them at the drugstore for $1. You can get cotton ones with rubber dots on the fingers. Very nice. And I think that's a great idea. You know, it's always good to save a couple dollars, and then you can use it on fabric. Diane also has a vertical spool on her sewing machine, and she also hates it. Thank you, Diane. It's always good to know you're not alone in these sort of things. She has found a spool holder that sits behind or next to her machine, and she hasn't had any problems with that. And she thinks it maybe would be an option that would help me too. And that is something I'll look into. I'm always worried with stuff like that just because I'm not, you know, the swiftest person in the universe that anything, I don't know, attached or added on, I'm going to make a big mess of it. But I'm making a big mess of the horizontal spindle, at least when it comes to winding the bobbin. And so it may be time to try something else. So thank you. Thank you for all that good advice. I really appreciate it. I think that is it for my quilting news and quilting comments. And again, I love to hear from you. So definitely comment or shoot me an email. As far as knitting news, I don't have a lot. I'm just knitting away on my cardigan. Now, when I was in Nashville this past weekend, I saw my friend Kate, and she has taken up knitting, mostly just as a relaxation sort of thing. So she's just working on this humongous scarf. It's really big. But she gave me a book when I was there called The Knitting Sutra, Craft as a Spiritual Practice by Susan Gordon Lydon. And I'm really enjoying it a lot. Now, I'm always a little bit wary about Western writers who kind of appropriate Eastern thinking or philosophy or religion. You know, just it can be a little iffy. Sometimes it feels a little bit like, you know, sort of spiritual tourism. Well, isn't this convenient? Let's take all the neat stuff from another culture, spiritual practice, and, you know, and discard, you know, anything that bothers us or would make us actually change our lives. But she does. But I don't think Susan Gordon Lydon does this. I think she handles it all very well. And I do think craft can be a spiritual practice. And certainly a meditative practice, unless you're spending hours ripping seams out. And then, well, not so meditative. But I'm enjoying the book. It's a very short, easy-to-read book. But one of the things that she writes about is how frustrating over the years it's been to knit garments that don't fit. And so often, unless you can read a pattern and make adjustments for your own size and the way you are built. You know, oftentimes sweaters don't fit all that well. And, You know, I was thinking, yeah, and sometimes it feels like a real crapshoot with knitting in that regard. It doesn't with socks. Obviously, hats and scarves and mittens are fine. And socks, now that, well, I used to not really get like the different weights of yarn. And so I just would knit with whatever yarn I liked, that I thought was pretty. Well, you know, socks, you need to knit with kind of somewhat thinner, I guess, sport weight yarn. And so I used to knit some very, very thick, big socks. But, you know, fortunately, I know some men with some very big feet, so it all worked out. But now I can knit a sock, and it really comes out just as it's supposed to. So socks are really good because everybody loves a sock. But sweaters, you know, I've been lucky in that every sweater I have knitted for someone else has worked out. Most of the sweaters I've knitted for me have not, but I really feel this cardigan's going to be different. I mean, one, it's a cardigan, and the only, you know, as long as I can get the sleeves to work, I'll be fine. And I just did remember that I knit my brother a sweater for Christmas a couple years ago that became a vest because I couldn't make the sleeves work. But I really think that was the pattern's fault. Knitting, you know, you live and die by the pattern unless you're at this level of knitting that I'm really not at. But I feel the sweater's going to work. I feel this is the garment I'm making for myself that is going to work out. But, you know, but I should say the reason I bring up this book is just that it's always a comfort, I think, to read about something in somebody else's life that is parallel with your own. So when she wrote that about having, you know, frustrations with sweaters fitting and how often she had, you know, seen a pattern and loved it and gone to the yarn shop and bought her yarn and spent hours and hours and hours knitting it only to put the sweater on and have it not fit properly. It wasn't that she regretted the money on the yarn. She didn't regret the time spent. You know, she talks about, she's very much a process knitter, so that's all fine. At the same time, there is always this disappointment because you are filled with hope. You know, that this sweater, this garment is going to fit, and you just feel that somehow by knitting the sweater, you will be as tall and thin as the model in the picture. I remember when I was in graduate school, and I think I was on a diet, and a friend of mine's mother was in town, and so we were talking about dieting, and she said, yes, that whenever she lost weight, she was always disappointed because she never was any taller than when she started. I'm like, yeah, that's right, you know, those of us who are 5'4", I think you're going to lose weight, which you do, and you're still not 5'10 and willowy. And, you know, the same thing as you knit these sweaters that look really beautiful on the 5'10 willowy models. And they look different on you. But as I said, I believe my cardigan is going to look fabulous on me. It needs to happen because I love cardigans. And then I can use this pattern to knit cardigans in every color of the rainbow except yellow and green. I don't actually like many colors in the rainbow except blue and red. I like green a lot, just not rainbow green. Anyway, you get my picture. And even if you're not a knitter, you've probably had, well, I certainly have had the experience with quilts as well, where you're looking at the picture in the book or in the pattern, and what you end up isn't quite the same, and it's always a disappointment. But that's why I think, for me, it's good to be a process person, because like I said, I don't consider it wasted time. I don't worry about the knitting projects that I have left unknitted, because I just like to knit. In the same way, I really like to sew, and that is really what's been so fun about finally kind of putting the pedal to the metal on the stippling and getting it done. Because I'll tell you, every night when I've sat down to work on it, it's just been a blast. So I believe that is it for this week. I hope you're having a good week, and if you're not, I hope you have a better week next week, and maybe you should read some poetry. When I feel bad, who do I read? I always like to read Lucille Clifton. Go to the library, get a book by Lucille Clifton. You'll feel better. In the meantime, do some good quilting, maybe even a little knitting on the side. Take care of yourself. Take the dog for a walk. Hug your cat. I'm putting that in for you, Pam. I don't have a cat, and if I did, they kind of scare me. So have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.